From our bureau in Wausau, this is Morning Edition on WPR News. I'm Shireen Seewert. A new nonprofit organization is taking shape in Wisconsin with a focus on elevating the Northwoods' voice in statewide policy conversations around economic growth, investment, and long-term opportunity. The group says it wants to bring more attention to both the challenges and the potential of the Northwoods and make sure the region has a seat at the table as major decisions are made. Joining us now is Paul Shekelman, is Executive Director of Northwoods Policy Network. Paul, welcome.
Thanks, Shireen. It's great to be here, and I'm excited to have a conversation about what we're working on up here.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. I'd like to start by asking, in practical terms, what you're really trying to accomplish here and what gap you're trying to fill.
On the organization side, we see frequently what groups exist and where they're located, and obviously a lot of where you're located drives what you're really concerned about. Everything is, a lot of policy is very local. We recognize that. We want to see a thriving Dane County, a thriving Milwaukee County. We want, the stretch along Lake Michigan to be alive and healthy with manufacturing and opportunity. And those groups that are all located in those areas really focus on that and just increasingly felt like who was kind of watching out for our unique issues, our unique industries, how our communities are laid out, what these different characteristics are, and maybe that we should have something that's very focused on those issues, and more importantly, finding solutions that match up with that that may not look the same everywhere else in the state.
What are some of the first concrete policy areas you plan to focus on in this coming year?
We've really been looking at what's really strong in our areas or where we could be stronger and leaning in on what we view our comparative advantages are. And so I think a lot of that always revolves around natural resources, for one. We're a destination for a lot of people on the tourism side, but we also have just incredible forests and incredible wildlife and a lot of natural resources that we could lean into. So figuring out how that would actually look to start try to, like, if we look at logging, how can we try to regrow this industry that's really been a backbone of Wisconsin for a very long time, and it's facing a lot of issues now. Logging to everybody across the state may, look differently to them, but we know how sustainable it can be, and we know the loggers personally. They're our neighbors. They're people that we go to church with. They're people we see around the community, and really bringing their message and their work to the forefront. And even on the tourism side, if we, look at some of the numbers, obviously that's a huge component of northern Wisconsin, especially in the summer. And if we have a great winter for snowmobiling and ice fishing and ice castles and everything else, these are all great things that our region has, kind of a huge advantage in. If we're seeing across the board that a lot of people in tourism are, starting to hit retirement, aging out, are people buying those businesses or are they closing? Are we growing the revenue in our counties to match inflation, or are we falling behind? And I think when you start peeling back some of the numbers, there's a few alarm bells that are starting to kind of sound where it doesn't necessarily look at it if you look at the state as a whole, but when we start breaking down the regions, we're just starting to notice that there's maybe some cracks in the foundation, and we really want to be proactive in bringing that to the forefront and finding some solutions around it to avoid any crisis down the road.
What about reindustrialization and manufacturing? What would that look like in a region that has seen mill closures and population decline as well?
The more that we're plugged in around the state and even nationally on what industry looks like today and how efficient and automated it's becoming, it's not going to replace people, but it's going to augment labor that exists and hopefully bring in new investment and new opportunities. But to your point, we have a lot of vacant factories and old mills, but it also means we have the infrastructure. We have places that already exist. We have utilities that are in place, and we have a population really that still knows how to build things. And I think that's really important to talk about, is we have a 125-year legacy in this state, all over the state, but especially up north too, of people that know how to work machines and how to engineer things that maybe aren't always just in an engineering school, but on the factory floor or in a community. So, like, really highlighting that and finding where we have some advantages, the railways, the highways. We have some great ports throughout the northern part of the state that access, via Lake Superior, they access the world. And we should really be able to lean into those things. So from shipbuilding to small and mid-sized manufacturing, when we're looking at average ages of welders and machine shop owners and people in these industries, there's going to be some really big gaps coming down the line. And I think it's really important for us to cast a stronger vision and start to fill those gaps so that when that age retires, the machine shop doesn't just close or it doesn't just sell to a private equity fund. It stays really tied into the community and supports people being able to come back home after college or after they're in trade school and have a really strong job down the road from where they grew up with family, with all of their friends. And they don't have to simply relocate to find opportunity.
Well, certainly keeping young people in the region and workforce retention, those are really recurring themes statewide. Are there specific policy changes you think would make a difference?
If we look around the country, if you're in Austin or El Segundo or San Francisco, and that's where all these spin-off companies are coming, that's where the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well, and that's where they're designing concepts. But then they immediately have to look at where they can go scale. And I think the scale is where Wisconsin could have a huge, huge advantage. We have infrastructure in place. We have a great history. The building is in our DNA. So why not Wisconsin? So we have to look at what states are really securing a lot of this new opportunity and this new investment, and look at, well, why is this happening? Is it strictly a population? Is it strictly because of their access to rail and highways? Or are there things on the back end related to policy that are really helping them kind of grease the wheels a little bit too? Wisconsin's got our manufacturing and agriculture credit. Are there ways we can make it even better? Right. And that's where we really want to get into the weeds and find out from not just the legacy builders that have been here, but this new generation, this kind of 25 to 30-year-old group of creators and innovators, and what they're looking for to where they can scale and expand their business.
Thank you so much. Where can people go to follow along with your progress and learn more?
We're all across all the social media platforms, and you can find us on our website at northwoodspolicy.org. And I really appreciate the time today, Shireen.
Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it as well. If
Thanks.
you have an idea about something in central Wisconsin you think we should talk about on Morning Edition, send it to us. Our email address is central@wpr.org. And remember, you can always find great stories from WPR News, including this one, online at wpr.org. I'm Shireen Seewert from our bureau in Wausau. This is Morning Edition on WPR News.